Welcome to Why Fish Radio. Why Fish is brought to you by Today's Tackle, Cats on the Red, and Trophy Cat Adventures. Now, here they are, Brad and Brad.
Good evening. Happy 4th of July, show number 77. And here we are sitting in our perch right in my backyard, as we have the last 2 weeks as well.
And we're on just a freakishly nice streak of weather. Here it is, 4th of July. Day is winding down. Hasn't rained. It's not cold. Wind isn't bad. You talk about a picture-perfect 4th of July. This probably would have to be one of them. Even got a little bit of fishing in it. I understand you did, too. So, all around, a good one.
Yeah, and on the subject of weather, looking ahead, we got five more days of the same. So, onward and upward, I guess. Fishing adventures. Yeah, interesting. Interesting to say the least, last week. Wednesday, the day after we cut the new show last week, I went down to fish that Fargo stretch. We had talked about me going down there. Let me say, that's an interesting piece of water. We started at about 5:30 and fished till about 10. And let's see, I think we landed 6. But no huge size, but you know, considering I'd never been there and Lauren had never really fished that stretch of river, I thought we were fairly successful. But the one thing I really noticed was how narrow the river was.
It is. It's a much smaller river when you get up that way, but it can be a very productive stretch of water. You know, at the same time, I've just always found getting out on new water, regardless, is just a lot of fun. There's something about just exploring it, trying to figure it out, and, you know, see if the same, you know, sort of patterns and techniques that work on, you know, kind of your home water, see if they apply to some of those new spots. And, you know, in a lot of cases, they really do. And it's just, you know, exploring and getting out and checking that out. I enjoy that a lot.
Well, based on the success rate, I didn't need to drive 150 miles round trip to do that. I could have driven 1 mile and done exactly the same thing. But that wasn't the point. The point was to go visit Lauren, who's kind of starting out on his own down there, and see his new stretch of water that he's trying to dissect and give him a hand in the dissection. Besides, I needed to see it for some work I'm going to be doing down there in the near future.
Yeah, you're helping to learn some new water, and that's a part of it. And you know, there's no doubt that, you know, what we have here close to home is very impressive right now. But at the same time, I think you can get into a rut just fishing that same body of water all the time, going back to the same snags, going back to the same holes, doing the same thing. You know, even if you're catching big fish, there's, you know, variety is the spice of life, they say. And you know, getting out and checking some of those new spots, even if you're not setting the world on fire, I think it's time well spent.
Well, even this past weekend, we had some family in town in Devil's Lake wanting to catch a few walleyes. And, of course, if you're going to show somebody the fish, where are you going to take them? You're going to take them to places you know and you've caught fish. So, you know, here we are sitting on places that I've been a million times, and I'm thinking, boy, I'd sure like to try this or this or this. But I don't know what's there, and you really don't want to take somebody who's there for a couple days into no man's land when you don't even know what's going on when you get there.
Yeah, you know, if you would have had a couple of days ahead of time to, you know, get it pegged a little bit, get some kind of a pattern going, probably would have put your mind at ease some. But how did it work out?
Well, it was good. The fish, we did get fish. The fish we kept were really nice fish. As I stated at the cleaning table on day two, I would really, really like to have a butt-kicking walleye bite. I have not had that yet this year, but it's been steady, and I guess that's better than nothing.
Well, I'm going to look into my crystal ball, and I'm going to predict that the weekend of, probably about July 22nd, whatever that Saturday, Sunday falls on, you're going to have yourself an absolutely butt-kicking walleye bite on that one.
Yeah, I have a hunch that luck's going to change on that. And speaking of that weekend, I understand as of today the reports are out. The big kitties at Cats on the Red are kicking butt now.
Well, you knew it had to happen. It was just a matter of time. And, you know, my experience in fishing up there about this time of year, year in and year out, has been just phenomenal. You know, it seems like the spawn has run its course, or is, you know, definitely winding down. Here's some firecrackers going off in the background here, folks. Don't worry, we're not in Iraq. you know, things are spawning's winding down. The fish are going, and they're probably pretty aggressive. I'm counting the days.
Well, what are we, 2.5 weeks out? So, everybody, we're going to be there. Doesn't mean you have to be there, but catsontheread.net, check out the reservations because the kitties are going to be biting. And I have a hunch you'll be able to find us somewhere between 8 p.m. and 4 a.m.
Yeah, absolutely. There's something about those evening hours. They've become kind of the magic time the past few years. And, you know, a lot of folks that make that trip do the same thing. They might take the day off and sleep in and you know, turn into night people. And there's something to be said for it because it certainly is effective.
So that's the cat bite. I understand you did some cat fishing here locally.
I did, yep. Fished city limits again this morning, and, you know, we'll kind of keep it at that. But you could tell that things are definitely turning the corner. You know, the numbers of fish were there. We fished from, well, I suppose by the time we got our lines in the water, it was probably 7:30, 8 o'clock. And we fished until 1:30, and it was one of those deals where, you know, we both had family commitments, and at the same time, though, you're thinking, oh, just one more fish, one more fish. It was really hard to pull the plug, because even on a bright, sunny day like this, middle of the afternoon, you'd pull into a new spot, and you weren't sitting there more than a matter of probably 4 or 5 minutes, if that, before you had a fish on. So, you know, it was like what we saw in May, so I really like what I'm seeing right now.
And that's real good sign as well. Since we're on the subject of the Grand Forks stretch, bites picking up, and the river level as of today was 16.5 something. So that's a nice river level to give Kent at Trophy Cat Adventures a call. Check them out on the web, trophycatadventures.com. Since we're plugging our sponsors, how about etackledirect.com and todaystackle.com? I never did get to use a bobber this weekend, so I missed out on that one.
No tying up in the trees?
Well, about 3 minutes, but wasn't even worth putting a bobber out for that.
You're not getting a little shy of those things by any chance, are you?
Not at all. Actually, we were testing my new depth finder, which is another intriguing
Well,
adventure.
Yeah, I understand you finally got that in the boat. Let's hear that story. That in itself had to have been a little bit of an adventure.
Well, I gotta say, I finally got my Vexilar Edge here. Oh, I've had it about 3 weeks now, I guess, but due to unforeseen circumstances of boats being in the repair shop, it just never got installed. So this weekend, like Friday night, I quick ripped down my boat and tore out the old one, and Saturday we installed the new one. Let me tell you, what a fiasco that whole thing was. And it wasn't that the depth finder was hard to install, because it wasn't. It was actually amazingly easy to install. You could have even installed it.
And we all well, know I don't know that about that, but we'll...
It was amazingly easy. Read the directions a couple times, followed the wires through the boat, and was like, oh, this goes here, this goes here. Life is good. But the guy at the shop did a marvelous job of installing the old depth finder. He did such a good job that about 37 zip tie cuts later, and taking out two walls along the gunnels to find the wires, and taking out some protective, some cable protection, and crawling under the dash to get to the power supply, and having to cut another 12 zip ties to get the other cables out of the way because they were tucked up so nice, it was easy.
Well, and those zip ties aren't necessarily easy to get at, especially when they're cinched tight like that. I mean, you want to be careful that you're not cutting something you don't want to cut. But, you know, you also mentioned following the directions. And, you know, right there you're a step ahead of me, because I tend to be one of these ones that'll dive in and, you know, geez, I don't want to follow those directions. And, you know, that can get you in trouble sometimes. And, you know, the colorful words sometimes will surface.
Well, what it came down to is, as I tore out the old one, I just remembered where all the wires were, and then I just ran the new ones in backwards. And everything fell into place until it was time to plug the power into the fuse panel. And that's where the vocabulary was tested out.
And what happened?
Well, this does not exist in a new Crestliner boat, by the way. But in the 2003 Crestliner Fishhawk, under the consoles, they put a little permanent shelf. It's an awesome feature for day-to-day use. You can put your cell phone and stuff down. It's got a netting across it, and everything stays dry and safe. But up under the dashboard is the fuse panel, and you have about just enough room for your head to get up there, and then you got to contort an arm up there to find the spot to plug the thing in. So of this whole probably 4 to 5 hour ordeal, I bet an hour was spent swearing at that fuse panel.
In a very uncomfortable position on top of it. Now, that part of it doesn't sound like a whole lot of fun, but it sounds like you finally got it in place. And, you know, I know you've been looking forward to giving that depth finder a try for quite some time. Initial observations?
Well, I have to say I'm very impressed with this Edge 3. The color display makes a world of difference. Obviously, there's features that I haven't found yet and features that I haven't played with yet. I read the book every evening we were out, trying to remember more features to try. So it seemed like by the time I got in the boat, I had two new features figured out. The last one I figured out was how to use the wide angle view on one side of the screen, and then zoom the tight view on the other side of the screen. And if there's a fish under you, you will catch it.
Hopefully that holds true, and it's got the. Does it have a kitty locator by any chance? A kitty lock function or something for the trip north?
You know, I tell you, I'm really excited to try this split screen dual transducer thing out for these kitties, because what this unit does is it shoots a wide screen or a wide angle. That's, I guess I can't even comment on how wide it shoots, but it shoots a real wide generic shot on one side of the screen. It shows it to you. And then on the other side of the screen, it's got a real narrow, sharp shot. And if you see a fish on the one side and you look to the other side, it's just this huge arc. It's so obvious you can't miss it. So I think when we get to Lockport and we're really giving it a good river test, I think what's going to happen is we're going to see a hole and maybe mark a fish in it. But if we drive over it a couple times, we're actually going to figure out which part of that hole the fish is laying in, and we should be able to cast right in front of the fish.
That's going to be an amazing function, and you know I think the accuracy and you know just the detail you get with those color depth finders once you get used to them, it's really quite impressive from what I've seen.
Well, what sold me on it? Well, two things sold me on it. The first one was I went to a seminar a couple of years back with Scott Glorvigan, and he was talking about depth finders, and he was saying how color is worth the extra money and this and that, and I don't even remember exactly what he said. But the example he gave is, you spend $200 on a black and white depth finder, but you don't want to spend $3 on a color depth finder. And I'm just throwing numbers out there, but he said, so, to save $100, would you buy a black and white television?
I think it probably, you know, it's a pretty good, analogy there, I guess. It's true, and it's, the detail and you know, just the whole experience you get by looking at that color depth finder is going to, you know, I don't think you're going to regret that purchase one bit.
The second thing that sold me, the one that really pushed me over the edge, because I was already settled on the Vexilar, I was already settled on going with the color Vexilar, was when our buddy Jason got that Humminbird that he's running in his new boat. And the first day we were out testing it, we were able to mark our jig and pinpoint the jig on the fish and watch the fish come up. And he has in his old boat, he had the exact same depth finder in black and white, and you could mark the jig and you could mark the fish, but you couldn't get the color variance to see it follow.
Yeah, and you didn't really know what you were seeing probably as well as a result.
And that was what sold me on moving to the color system.
I would like to see that color depth finder in use lake trout fishing, when you have a fish that you're fishing in 80, 90 feet of water and they tend to be pretty aggressive. They're not scared to move up into the water column, you know, 20, 30, 40, maybe even 50 feet, you know, to chase a bait. To watch something like that take place on one of those color depth finders with, you know, with that kind of accuracy in detail, I think would be really cool.
Well, you never know. It might happen someday.
I ain't holding my breath, but
with my history, I wouldn't either. So that was the big adventure. Unfortunately, I never got to use the unit for the bite we were on yesterday in Devil's Lake. But another cool thing I got from my friends at Vexilar is I bought a transducer for my FL18 winter system that goes on my trolling motor. Just a fun little toy, I thought, more than anything. And I got that installed last weekend. Wasn't even using it, and we were working an old road, and I figured out that the fish were biting in the ditch on the edge of the old road in the shoulder. Well, the bite was so precise that what I ended up doing was using the FL-18 on the trolling motor and shooting the one on the transducer at the back of the boat. The front depth finder said 11 feet, the back said 14. If that combination wasn't part of it, we weren't catching fish. It was that precise it had to be. So that was an interesting little use of those toys as well.
So much for keeping it simple, I guess, huh?
Yeah, I was running 4 depth finders yesterday, technically. So onward and upward, I guess, from electronics. But the installation was a challenge. It's in. I love it. Can't wait to play with it a little more. Anything good on tap coming up?
Well, you know, like I say, I think the big thing now is just, you know, just that upcoming trip. I'm ready to do battle with the catfish. You know, the spawn seems to be passed, and they're turning the corner locally, and obviously up north as well. So, I mean, there's some good things ahead.
I understand you're going to get a weekend off of fishing before we go.
I am, yep. I'm going up this weekend to the Winnipeg Folk Festival. It's been kind of a tradition with some friends for several years. Don't go every year, but maybe every 2-3 years. So, going to go kick back in the trees and listen to some tunage for a couple of days.
That sounds fine, and I'm staying close to home, and I'm going to play with some kitties.
Well, it's going to be a little bit like the old water torture thing, though, because we're going to be within about 5 miles of Lockport. Just, you know, I'll be able to hear that water running over the dam, you know, and it's going to be tough to stay away from that. I might have to go over there and just look at it longingly.
Yeah, you don't want to get into that, or it'll be make the 2 weeks going in that much longer.
Well, yeah, that's probably true. It's not going to help anything, but we're caught in the days, and meantime, I think we're winding down this show. Anything else we need to add?
I think we're done. We've installed depth finders. We've caught walleyes. We've had family. What else did we do? You caught catfish. I experienced, but we've done a lot of stuff this week. So.
Yep, so we've covered a lot of ground, and in keeping with tradition, I'm not sure where this got started, but until next time, keep your hook in the water, keep your line tight, and most of all, keep it fun.
Thank you for listening to Why Fish Radio. Be sure to tune in next time for another Adventures in Fishing. For more information, log on to whyfishradio.com.